Welcome to this week's podcast from the teaching team at Beacon Church. For more information about our church, please visit beaconchurch.com.au. We hope you enjoy the message.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, legends. Thanks, Smitty. It's a privilege to be here. My name is Josiah, as Bella shared with you, and if we haven't met, I'd love to meet at some point, say hello, get to know you, but it's my privilege to share this morning. I actually want to thank the worship team. Wasn't worship wonderful today? I was just in worship and I was just loving every song. I was like, oh, I love this song. Like this song is, I feel like God's moving in this song. We move to the next song and I had the same thought. And I was like, man, someone did well when you selected songs this week. I hope you felt the same. If it was just me, I was enjoying it. But now this morning, it's my privilege to share with you all and we did sing about revival this morning, and I feel that my message kind of does tie into that concept. And Bella gave us the definition earlier of that idea of revival is something coming back to life. And I think if you're someone in this room that you call yourself a Christian, you're a follower of Jesus, I think we need to understand that revival is going to speak to us first. It's going to speak to the places where we've let our faith kind of shy back a little bit, where we've come a little bit complacent in our faith, in our walk with God. Revival is going to start by firing us up again to be passionate about our love for God, our faith in God, remind us of how much He has done for us. Revival is going to begin in that place, and then it's going to go to others. And so no matter who you are this morning, you're a Christian or you're not a Christian, welcome to church. You're so welcome in this place. This message, I hope, would be an encouragement for you of what it actually looks like to have a life with God, faith in God. And this morning, it really is going to focus on an image, I think, that we see all throughout Scripture, is our faith in God is like a walk. It's a walk with God. See, a lot of people have a concept of maybe God, those who maybe not Christian, but they have an idea that yeah, maybe God is real. Maybe there's some force or something that created the universe. There's a lot of people that don't have a personal faith that are okay with that sort of concept. Maybe God started this whole world. Maybe there's a God somewhere out there, but he's kind of distant. He's far off, or maybe he's not really personal. He kind of set things, he started things and then he disappeared, right? I've met so many people that speak with this sort of language about the possibility of God. But the truth is that the God that we worship is a relational God. He's relational. He's not just all powerful. He's also relational. He's not distant. The God that we serve likes to walk with his people, likes to walk with us, with you and with I. And right from the beginning in Scripture, we see this imagery played out in the garden, in the first garden created. We see this idea of God walking with the first people. He's walking alongside man and woman. And even when they disobey God, when they disobey him, we see this imagery played out in Genesis 3:8. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Right from the very beginning, we see the story of the first people, of Adam and Eve. And even in their sin, their disobedience, God comes and walks alongside them in the garden. He's a relational God. He's not distant. He's not unreachable. He wants to journey with us. And this imagery doesn't just end in the garden. The sin didn't separate the walk with God. It was just the first example of it. We move to the next book in Exodus, we see God walking with his people. By now in Exodus, we see a nation of people that are following God and they're being led out of slavery in Egypt. And as they begin their journey, God leads them and walks with them. This is what it says in Exodus chapter 13, 17 to 22. Then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and they return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him,
For he had placed the children of Israel under solemn oath, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here with you. So they took their journey from Succoth and camped in Etham at the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from them before the people. This imagery that we see is God's calling his people out of slavery. That was a miracle. They were saved from being really heavily enslaved in Egypt. And it's even specific about which way God wanted to lead them. It's specific. He didn't want to take them by this place because there's war, and he didn't want them to be afraid and to run back to slavery. God leads them and guides them the way that he knows they need to go. And he does that for this people, he does that by a cloud, by a pillar of fire, something they could physically see. They could see that their God was with them, leading them, guiding them. Our God is a relational God. He wants to lead us, guide us, walk with us in our life. He wants to take us on a journey. This picture of walking with God is the picture of what our faith in him is meant to be like. It's relational. And this picture is perfectly embodied in the person Jesus Christ. This picture just gets better and better when we see him, right? Because Jesus is not just a nice man, a good ethical teacher. He's not just someone who has some nice ideas that Christians follow and try and be good people. No, the story of Jesus is that he is God in flesh. He is God wrapped up in a human body in Jesus. He is both fully God and fully man at the same time. And this idea, this concept that maybe it sounds confusing if this is the first time you're hearing of who Jesus was and how does his identity work like that. But this concept of who Jesus really was demonstrates exactly how God wants to walk with his people. And Paul describes this kind of mystery about who Jesus was brilliantly in Philippians chapter 2. He says this, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Catch this description of him. "Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." Jesus Christ was more than just a man. He was fully God. But he humbled himself and became fully man. He walked on this earth as a man. He walked with his people. Jesus spent 3 years of ministry walking alongside who we call the 12 disciples or his followers, larger groups. He walked with people. He ate with people. He spent time with people. He interrupted what was supposed to be the way that religious people walked. He walked with sinners. He spent time hanging out with prostitutes. And the religious people would see this and they were so confused. Why would a holy man walk with someone who had such a bad reputation in their eyes? Why would Jesus walk with these people? Why even amongst his followers were there tax collectors? People that weren't meant to be with the religious people. And yet he walked alongside them. And he used these same people to share his love and the good news of his death and resurrection. These same people who walked with him understood their connection with God and would bring about this message. And one of my favorite moments of Jesus walking with people comes in the gospel of Luke in the last chapter. It's a story of two disciples who were followers of Jesus, and the day that he dies comes by, and all of Jesus' followers are thrown into disarray. They don't know what to do. They had trusted that Jesus was going to be the Messiah, and now he had died. And the disciples, they weren't impressed by that. They didn't think that was supposed to happen, even though Jesus had warned them. And a few days later, we see this story of two disciples walking away from Jerusalem where everything had happened. They're walking away from this central hub where Jesus had just been crucified only days earlier. They're walking on a road in their disappointments. The things that they thought were meant to happen hadn't come by. They were so disappointed. They truly thought Jesus was meant to be the one to set them free, to change everything. And yet he had died and they didn't understand. And as they're walking, Jesus himself, the day of his resurrection, the first story of Jesus appearing to people in the Gospel of Luke is that he comes and he walks alongside these two disciples walking to a town called Emmaus. And as they're walking, Jesus comes alongside them and he hears their conversation, their disappointments, their frustrations. And he hears everything that's going on and it's almost comical. He asks them, what are you talking about? What are these things? And these two disciples are shocked. They don't recognize Jesus. They're not shocked because of who it is. They're shocked that someone hadn't heard that Jesus had died. They're shocked that how could anyone in this region not know what's happened the last few days? This great prophet. And they begin to tell him that they had trusted that Jesus was this great prophet. They thought he was to be the Messiah, but he had been crucified on a cross only days earlier. And they throw in this moment where they say, but even this morning, these two women who went to the tomb, they went there and it was empty. They found the tomb empty and we don't understand how all of this could have happened. And Jesus, I wish I was there for this moment because Jesus begins to explain to them, correct their misunderstandings of everything that had been going on. He sees their disappointments and he begins to explain from the Old Testament scriptures that wasn't it supposed to happen that the Messiah would suffer exactly as Jesus just had? I wish I was there. I think this would have been one of the greatest sermons of all time. It's honestly the one that I wish I'd heard. To see Jesus preach about himself from the Old Testament. And as they walked, a significant walk, he begins to unpack this story of the Old Testament, how God had chosen a Messiah and the Messiah was going to suffer. That the things that had happened the last few days were part of the plan. And he begins to correct their misunderstandings and handle their frustrations and help them, guide them on the right path. And they arrive at Emmaus, the city that these two disciples have been walking to and Jesus kind of acts as if he's going to continue walking and they say, no, please come and share a meal with us. Please come and stay. We've loved talking with you. And this is what it says in Luke 24:30. At this moment in the story, now it came to pass as he sat at the table with them that he took bread, he blessed and broke it and he gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they knew him and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? So they rose up that very hour and they returned to Jerusalem. This is a beautiful example for all of us who are walking in our life and even in our faith with questions and misunderstandings, frustrations. Jesus, I'm following you, but something happened. Jesus, I'm following you, but my boss said this, or my spouse said this, or my family member did this. It's frustrating. I don't understand. I thought you were meant to be with us. Jesus wants to walk alongside us. Our connection with God is a relationship. He wants to walk with us as his people. In the moments where we're clear on everything that's happening, in the moments where we have serious questions, God, where are you? He wants to do that walk and that journey with us. So how this morning are we then to develop that walk with God? Like what can we actually do to help that? What can we do to stay walking with God? And I want to offer a really simple thought, a really simple thing that we can work on in our lives to develop our walk with God. And my answer to that question, how can we do that, is prayer. Maybe you're like, of course, that's very obvious, right? But prayer. And I think it's important for us, if you're like me, because in this life, in our faith, we can become complacent with the very simple things. If you've been around church for any length of time, prayer is probably something you know, I should do that. That will help. Right? But if you're like me, we forget to. We don't give it the serious attention that would actually benefit our lives. Prayer becomes the thing we say before we eat. Not a genuine connection with God, a walk with Him. And Jesus expressed that one element of our prayer life should be a very personal experience in our relationship with God. He said this in Matthew 6, verse 6. When you pray, go into your room. And when you've shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Part of our prayer life is that secret place with God, where we actually speak with Him. We talk with Him about what's going on in our lives. There's other parts of our prayer life, sure, but this morning, are we thinking about our walk with God, our relationship with Him? Any relationship requires communication, requires expressing to one another how we're feeling and what we're thinking. And prayer is that connection where we speak and communicate with God. It's important. It develops our walk with Him, our relationship with Him. We're actually connected to Him. So would we look at our own prayer lives with honesty this morning? How's your prayer life going? Has it been better in the past? Is it a passionate prayer life? If I'm honest with you, my prayer life has recently begun to become passionate again. But for many years, I was complacent. For too long, it was just saying grace or praying for someone when they asked me to. We need to make our prayer life a connection with God, to be consistent in it, to walk in step with God. Another few questions for you. Is your prayer life only about yourself? Alternatively, is your prayer life only about other people? Our walk with God, our prayer life should be both. Of course, we're meant to pray for others. We're also meant to develop our connection with God. And one way I've tried to do that recently is something that maybe as a young man I'm not familiar with, is praying my emotions to God. God, I'm frustrated right now. God, I'm not sure about what's going to happen in that situation. God, I'm a bit worried about this. God, I'm so excited for that thing happening. God, it gives me so much joy when this happens. When that thing happened today, I've begun to pray my emotions with God. And I've got to be honest with you, it's not something I've really done before the last few months. I've prayed lots of other things before, but I realized if I have a relationship with God, yes, He knows everything about me, but He wants me to tell Him how I'm feeling, how I'm doing. And as I express that, I begin to walk with God through those feelings, those emotions. Right? My prayer life should be more than just when we're in this room, when we gather together. Right? God wants to walk with us every day, not just on a Sunday. He wants to walk with us just as much on a Monday as He does today. He wants to walk daily with us. Let's develop that prayer life to keep in step with God, to just to walk with Him. It's not something you have to do so many times to earn his love. You've already got that. God loves you no matter how many times you pray. But when we pray, it helps us to follow him, to connect with him, to walk with him. There's one other gift I want to share on this morning that God's given us to help us in life, to not grow complacent. And I think this is one of the greatest gifts God's given us. And that's other people who follow Jesus. Our walk with God is not done in isolation. You're not the only person walking with God. I'm not the only person walking with God. Together, we get to walk with God alongside one another. And an example of this, last September, I went on a hike with my dad, some other guys, and Darren. I know you're in the room somewhere. He's been making us all coffee this morning. We went for a hike, and one of the moments that I realized that's really important in when you go on a hike is that you have good equipment. I worked that out on the second night when my $10 Kmart torch with dodgy batteries wasn't providing enough light anymore. And fortunately, I know that Darren had a good torch that actually worked, and we were able to see as we walked together. Right? My light wasn't very good, but his was good enough for each of us. And similarly, when we're walking towards Christ in our life, as we're walking towards our lives looking more like his, which is our goal, there's people that walk alongside us, and there's moments where we are actually learning from their light, the way that they're following Jesus. And we look at our own lives and I don't look quite as light as they do, and I can learn from them in how to follow Jesus. Right? We're called to be that for one another as we walk towards Christ, which is our goal, to look like him. Not just our personal goal, our communal goal. This is expressed in 2 Corinthians 3. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. It's our goal to be transformed into his image. All of us, we all. That's our goal. And each of us is called to help one another, to inspire one another. And I love what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Such a powerful picture of what it looks like to walk with Jesus alongside one another. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Or in the Old Testament, it said like this, very similar in Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. As we walk alongside one another, we're meant to be inspired by one another. We find people to imitate. We find people who sharpen us. And likewise, we are an example to others, and we sharpen others. And one of the most influential experiences of my year this year, in 2023, happened last school term, about August, I think. I traveled with a group from my workplace. I work for Brisbane Catholic Education a few days a week. And I got the privilege to go on a trip to an event called World Youth Day. It happened in Portugal this year in Lisbon. And 1.5 million people went to this event. A global event, significantly large experience of one of the largest, probably the largest Christian denomination, the Catholic Church, gathering together. And I got to be a part of this, and that was an interesting experience as a Pentecostal youth pastor to be going to a Catholic youth conference for 1.5 million people. And it was an amazing experience, and I want to share one powerful moment that really has challenged me and has begun to transform my life and my walk with God. See, it kind of happened a little unexpectedly. You might be able to guess already that there was some preconceived ideas that I had going into this experience, of where I'd come into things that I disagreed with theologically. We have some differences, and I thought there's no doubt that the people I'm traveling with are going to be people that hold to certain views that maybe disagree with my views. But at the core, I know there's something that unites us is our faith in Christ. And I was not sure how the similarities and the differences would play out. I wasn't quite sure whether it was going to be an amazing 2-week trip with people I didn't know or a really uncomfortable 2-week trip with people I didn't know. And as the trip went on, this sort of pilgrimage we went on, I noticed I started walking alongside one other gentleman. I'll call him Connor. That's his name. And sorry. I was hanging out with Connor quite a bit, and we're going through these experiences, and I sort of noticed how different we were, right? Can I describe it like our spiritual personality types? Right, you know how some people are extroverted and introverted, right? And others right or wrong. They're just different expressions of personality. Well, it's like our spiritual personalities were totally different. Where I really enjoyed the experiences with loud bands, kind of maybe like this, with guitars and drums and things like that. He enjoyed the really reserved, quiet worship music. Maybe it was an organ, you know, like something more traditional. When I really loved those moments of prayer where it's kind of just like, it's just from your heart, you make it up, you say the words, it doesn't really matter, right? Well, he loved those traditional prayers where it's written and everyone says the same prayer. Everyone knows the words. You pray it together, right? Now neither was right or wrong. And there was an appreciation we had for each other's kind of worship personality type, I guess. But I noticed how different we were. I noticed how we were following Jesus and we had these slightly different expressions. And I really came to a place where I could appreciate some of the things that he enjoyed that maybe isn't my cup of tea, right? But I could appreciate that he was worshiping God through it. And then there came to this moment, you could probably imagine for an event where there's 1.5 million people in a city that normally has, I think, about 600,000 people that live there. There's crowds everywhere. The trains are crowded. The train stations are almost overrun, right? And I noticed as we went through this 2-week experience that we would be walking through these train stations and I'd look over at Connor and somehow he had found the smallest tourist I've ever seen in my life with the largest suitcase. And he would be carrying their giant suitcases up the stairs for these tourists who could not make their way through the crowds. They obviously didn't know World Youth Day was on in that city. They were just there. Right? And he would be carrying these large suitcases for these people. I was like, that's kind of cool. That happened at least 2 times that I saw in different train stations on different days. And then every time we walked past someone on the street who lived on the street, which in the cities we were in Europe, there's quite a few people living on the street, begging for money for their livelihood. And every time we walked past one of these people, my friend Connor had something for them. And it really challenged me because if I'm honest with you, my experience with people on the street up until this point earlier this year is I'd kind of step around. I kind of was kind of weary while we were overseas too. I'd had so many warnings about pickpockets and people that might approach you for different reasons. And so when we encountered someone who I thought maybe this could be someone that wants something from me, I was a bit worried and I'd kind of make my way around, but I saw my friend Connor, who always had something for them. Finance. We'd walk into a shop, he'd buy them a meal, drink of water. He always had something for them. And I looked at my friend Connor and I looked at my own life. And I realized Connor looks a lot like Jesus right now and I don't look very much like him at all. And I remembered so clearly God spoke to me words that Jesus said in Matthew 25. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him. He'll separate them from one another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. He'll set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison, you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we even see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty, give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. And then he'll say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, and into the everlasting fire that prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you did not take me in. Naked, you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, you did not visit me. And they will also answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you in each of these ways? Surely I say to you, and as much as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And these words hit me. They're hitting me again. As I realized I was living my life with a spiritual blind spot. I didn't realize there was some area of my life that didn't look like him. Now, even as a youth pastor, someone who's been to Bible college, you could look at all the credentials. There's an area of my life I had a blind spot. But I looked at my friend, maybe someone who I thought before I met him was got this wrong or that wrong, or disagree with him here. When I saw the way he lived his life, he looked a lot like Jesus. Our walk with Jesus alongside one another should call us to all become more like Jesus. And that other people around us will highlight the blind spots in our life. And maybe that will be uncomfortable for you, as it has been for me. Something needs to change in my life. I can't continue to live the way I'm doing because I'm not looking like Jesus. Not in this area. You know, when I've spoken with him, there's things in my life that inspired him too. That's what it looks like to walk alongside people. We'll highlight the blind spots in each other's life and point not to ourselves, but back to Jesus. This is who we're following. This is what he looks like. That's what discipleship looks like. Discipleship, just following Jesus, becoming more like him. Like we're trainees becoming like the master. An apprenticeship of what it looks like to live like Jesus. And at the end of the day, that was his goal for each of us. Jesus' last words to his disciples in the Gospel of Matthew 28, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. This morning, my challenge for us as a church is to look inwardly. How's our walk with God going? Are we walking with God? Are we developing that walk? Are we developing our faith? Or have we grown complacent? And my second challenge is, who are you investing into to help them with their walk? No matter how experienced or inexperienced you are in your faith, each of us has that same call to make disciples. Whether you've made 1,000 disciples already in your life and you feel like you've done enough, you're still called to make disciples. If this is your first ever day in church and something's happening, you're like, I need this Jesus in my life. Well, your call will be to go and make disciples. And you might not know everything. In fact, if you think you know everything, you don't. Put it plainly. Right? We don't know everything. We all have blind spots. So if you're fresh to this, it's okay. Get alongside others. Find out what it looks like to walk towards Jesus, to look like Him. But bring other people with you. There'll be someone in your world that knows less about God than you do right now, because you've just listened to me talk for half an hour or so. Your experience with God, your walk with God, your personal relationship with God has never happened before on this planet. Everyone in this room, we all know we're unique. There's no one exactly alike, which means that your connection to God has never been repeated before. People around you need to learn from your relationship with God. You have something to offer. So church, what are we doing to grow our faith, our walk with God? And who are we investing into? If we can answer those questions, if we can really answer them, not just mentally, but actually live that out, we will see revival in our lives and in the lives of those around us as we each become more like Jesus. We bow our heads, close our eyes as I finish. God, I thank you for the challenge and the joy of a relationship with you. God, I ask that you would help each of us in this room to walk with you, to become more like you. Thank you that you loved us. You've called us your own. Thank you that you're calling each person. God, would you break off complacency off our lives? Would we become passionate again in prayer, in our connection with you? And would you encourage us and show us the people in our world that we can lead and guide and disciple to help others become more like you? Just in this place, I want to give an opportunity. Maybe you've walked in this place this morning and you don't have a personal walk with God right now. Maybe when you look at your life, you know you haven't been walking with God. I want to give you an invitation. The truth is that Jesus loves you. That's why He came. He lived a perfect life. Why God would choose to take on human flesh, to suffer the death on the cross, to pay the price for every human mistake ever made, and to rise again to overcome it. Maybe you want to be included in that action that He did. You say, God, I need to ask for forgiveness for the mistakes in my life, and I want to learn to walk with you. If you're here this morning and that's you, would you just raise your hand? I'll acknowledge it. And you pop it down. Yeah, I see that hand. Is there anyone else in this place ready to take that step? So I look one more time. The left to the right. God, I thank you for your precious daughter who wants to walk with you. God, I thank you that you would reveal your love to her right now. God, I thank you that you would teach her to walk with you. That relationship with you is the most important relationship in this life. And that you would bring others around her to help her to follow you, God. God, we thank you for all that you're doing this morning. Thank you for the gift and the joy of salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. We pray the message has inspired you. To connect with us further, visit beaconchurch.com.au.